Hello, and welcome to Rock On, a podcast where I explore influential alternative rock albums. My name is Caitlin, and today we have an interesting one. This may not be an influential alternative rock album in the most traditional sense, per se. It definitely didn't reach the popular notoriety as the previous albums I've discussed. However, I would say its influence in the scene, specifically the pop, punk, emo, and obviously alternative rock in general scene, is big enough that it's worth note, and I think it's worth talking about. It's also one of my personal favorites. So today we have The Upsides by The Wonder Years. This was their second studio album. Their first was called Get Stoked On It. This album is also the first of a trilogy of theirs. There's The Upsides, Suburbia I've Given You All and Now I'm Nothing, and The Greatest Generation. All fantastic albums. The ones I like the most, based off just what I've heard so far, because I only recently got into the Wonder Years, but I really like The Upsides and I really like The Greatest Generation. So yeah, it's a great album. It's sort of a concept album in a way. It's kind of the story of having hope, getting better, things improving, that sort of thing. It's fantastically written. It's a great album, and I can't wait to dive into it with you guys today. It was originally released through No Sleep Records, but there's a deluxe edition released after they signed with Hopeless Records, who they are still with today, I believe. It was produced by Vince Ratty. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It was recorded at Skylight Studios in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania. Like I said earlier, it's part of a trilogy. It was originally supposed to be about giving up, but then the singer and one of the main songwriters for the band, Dan Campbell, realized he shouldn't be so defeated. The story goes where he said he would take bike rides around his city, Philadelphia, every morning, and then one day he went and saw that the fountain at Logan Circle was turning on, and he said to himself, I should not be this defeated at 23, and then it just sort of switched the album. It was no longer about feeling defeated and giving up, but rather about getting better and having hope for the future. And I think that's really nice. I like the idea of seeing the fountain and realizing it's spring and just having a moment where you're like, no, this is not what my life has become. This is not how I'm going to be. Things are changing. I'm going to make things change. I love that. I just think it's a really nice message of optimism. And the one main tagline of the album that is repeated a lot is, I'm not sad anymore. It's repeated in multiple different songs. I'll talk about it more when I go track by track, but I think it's just a really nice message. Just, I'm not sad anymore. And then, you know, where to go from there. I think it's really good. I already said that. But yeah, that tagline is also used on the cover of one of the vinyl pressings they did of it. I saw it recently, but I think they've sold out since then. But they had a pressing where the cover said, I'm not sad anymore. And the actual vinyl was really pretty. It's like clear, splattered with colors. Very nice. So yeah, it's also sort of about having a sadness that's not really hopeless. The idea of, yeah, you know, maybe I'm down and out today, but it's not forever. And then something I want to read to you guys that is on, it's printed like on the inside of the CD case. I don't know where else. I just know I saw it on the CD. I have the CD and I'm going to read it to you. It's something that Dan Campbell wrote and I think it's really good and really encapsulates the album. So it says, the whole world wants you to be miserable. It wants you to put your head down, side to yourself, and give up on being happy. And I know just as well as anyone that sometimes giving up seems like the only option. But if you take one thing from this record, I hope it's this. Don't give them an inch. Stand your ground every chance you get, because everybody deserves a chance to be happy. I think that's beautiful. But yeah, the songs were written, also talks about in the CD, in that little excerpt, the rest of it, that the songs were written in the basement of Dan Campbell's house in South Philadelphia. And the band would sort of live in the living room, and then they would always go down every day to write songs in the basement, which sounds kind of exhausting in a way, but it shows their dedication, their hard work to the record. So now to take you guys track by track, it opens with a song called My Last Semester, and it's about finishing college. It's kind of got a slow opening, and it does kick off with the lyrics, I'm not sad anymore. Then it kicks in and it's sort of fast paced. It's about a lot of different aspects, but it's about like some of the hypocrisy of people in college. Like they say one thing, they do another sort of thing. Different groups of people that he came across in college that he didn't vibe with, didn't like, didn't get along with. It's sort of about how he's leaving, he's graduating soon, and he never fit in except with his friends and his band. So fun fact, Dan Campbell, the singer, he graduated from Temple University College of Education in 2011. So he did finish his degree. I know it's not super common. I mean, there are a lot of artists out there who have college degrees, but there are a lot who don't. So I think that's interesting. But yeah, so this song, I believe, is written toward the end of his last semester, senior year, because there is one part where he says, two more months and I'm done with this. But he sort of reflects on his college experience as something negative for him. He didn't really like it that much. He sort of felt like it was a bad idea at times. He just never fit in. I think it's a really fun song. Very upbeat. You know, I'm sure a lot of you guys listening to this are in college. It's a fun song to listen to on a bad day. Because you're like, yeah, screw college sort of thing. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not all bad. But it is a very fun song, so I like it. It's very fast-paced, got the punk influences. One thing about this album, I will say, is a lot of the songs sort of have, like, that punk sort of guitars and drums in it. I mean, it's a pop-punk album, so it's to be expected. But I don't know. I can't think of very many good ways to describe that sort of instrumentation, so excuse me if I am saying punk inspired to describe a lot of the songs and how they sound. But yeah, it does have some slow parts in it. It definitely has like a call and response sort of moment in the bridge. It's really great. That happens a few times in the album, which is wonderful. The next song is Logan Circle, and this really encapsulates like one of the main themes of the album. He talks about the fountain at Logan Circle turning on, indicating the start of spring. This is a really nice song. On my latest re-listen to the album, it sort of stuck with me more than it did other times. I think the listen before my latest re-listen, it sort of stuck with me, but I didn't listen to it that much after, but I've actually listened to it quite a lot recently, like today. But it's got a really nice melody in the chorus. I like that a lot. It's a hopeful song. Because, you know, it starts with the lyric, they turned on the fountain today at Logan Circle, and I felt something in me change. And that's sort of the theme of the album. So it's kind of interesting in a way. I mean, it kind of fits the idea of, like, this is sort of like a concept album in a way. You know, he finishes college, and this is after college. You know, he's a little defeated, a little hopeless, and then you sort of kick off, like, the optimism of the album. Like, this is the catalyst for getting better, seeing that fountain get turned on. But he sort of talks about, he worries about he's not going places fast enough in the song sort of thing. I'm afraid we're wasting away is the one part of the chorus. There's a really neat effect for like the second chorus, like on the vocals right at the end of like the second verse in the I'm not afraid part, or I'm afraid. And then it goes, you know, we're wasting away. It's very cool. If you listen to it, just listen closely for that moment. It has the repeat of the I'm not sad anymore. It's not as fast paced as some of the songs. It's a little bit slower. I would say the second verse, you can definitely hear that sort of punk style drumming and guitars, like the very driving drums, fast beats. But that's not throughout the entire song, especially not the chorus. The chorus is a little bit more slowed down, a little bit more simple. It's nice though. It works. It sort of lets the vocals have a moment to shine too. Like I said earlier, the chorus has a really nice melody. I think it's good. And the beginning of the song, it's the inspiration behind the album, really kicks it off. I know it's the second track, but it's, you know, part of the beginning. The next song is called Everything I Own Fits in This Backpack. And it sort of sets the scene with him packing his stuff from college. So it's interesting. It kind of like bounces back and forth at different times. I mean, I obviously don't know the timeline of when he graduated college versus the Logan Circle fountain thing. But, you know, this one is a little bit different. So in this one, it starts out and he's packing his stuff from college, sort of packing up his things, getting ready to move out. Talks about how he never fully unpacked, which could sort of fit into the theme of in my last semester when he talks about he never fully fit in. I think that sort of ties back into that. He talks about feeling uncomfortable in his hometown in South Philly. He sort of like feels like he doesn't belong there anymore. So it's a little bit, I guess the first verse and first chorus, it's a little bit, it's not really slower, but I guess it's not quite as intense. The second verse is a little bit more punk and fast paced. And then he talks about how he's touring with the band, and that sort of goes with the whole everything I own fits in this backpack sort of thing of touring and this constant traveling. So that's really, it's really interesting concept, and it's definitely explored more throughout this album. He talks more about touring and being with the band. He feels comfortable sort of pitying himself, but he recognizes he's doing better now, which I think is important. It's like a turning point of, I could sit and wallow in self-pity because it's what's comfortable, you know. The singer, he had depression, and or he has depression, and he struggles with it. He sort of, I guess he knows how it can be easier to just sort of, I guess, be comfortable with the sadness and being down, but he believes that he needs to sort of challenge that notion to finally get better. And that's a common theme through a lot of Wonder Years songs, is this idea of like, he knows that getting better, the first thing is like sort of recognizing it himself, that he can't just stay comfortable in his suffering, but he has to sort of make strides to try to get better, which is, you know, it's really interesting and very, it's very impactful message. The next song is Dynamite Shovel, which is very interesting. It's very short, and it's just sort of like, it's kind of like a political commentary in a way. It's sort of like a commentary on people, specifically like Christians, who are not accepting of everyone. It's about how, you know, some small towns, they don't progress past outdated viewpoints. It's a really short song, but I mean, you can tell like he sort of feels strongly about it. I think he believes in accepting everyone, because he talks about it a little bit in my last semester as well, about how he does not like when people do not accept the LGBT community. And I think this song kind of goes into it a little bit more too, which is, you know, I mean, it's nice that he's such a, you know, strong supporter and everything. But yeah, I mean, it's a really short song, but it's kind of funny at times, like the ending. It's definitely worth the listen. It has a lot of energy to it. It's sort of, I guess I would say, I won't necessarily say the theme doesn't fit with the rest of the album, because like I said, it does have the ties to the other song, and it ties to the idea of touring. So, I mean, it kind of does fit, but it is a little bit of a departure from the whole, you know, I'm not sad anymore thing. So, I mean, it's kind of like a nice break from some of the other songs. You get a little bit of a taste of something new to it. The next song is New Year's with Carl Weathers. It has a really nice transition between the two songs. It's a great transition. It's about sort of their touring van broke down. And I'm assuming it's around New Year's, because it sort of talks about New Year's in the song. At first I thought it was just like one of those titles that has nothing to do with the song. I will say that there are a few titles like that. So if the title sounds weird, it's one of those things. You know how pop punk bands are. So, yeah. So sort of, he says it's going to be their year sort of thing. He has this hope for the new year coming up. He talks about making friends with people all over while touring, like names different places all over the country, sort of where they met people. And it just sounds interesting. Like, it sounds like such a positive sort of view on it. Like, at the same time, he's a little bit apprehensive at times to the idea of everything's going to be all right. But, like, overall, it's optimistic. It's got this optimistic view of both just life in general and of touring. He says, like, they know that they're going to get things figured out, and they will get through any setbacks and will get through the tough times that come along. Like, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. They're going to stick it out. And I think that's a really good message. There's call and response vocals in the bridge, and those sound really good. Those add an interesting element to it. Helps shake it up a little bit. And yeah, it's a good song. Definitely sort of got that driving guitars and drums, as most of the songs do. The vocal style is the same. It's a little rough at times. Definitely very, I guess sort of like loud. I don't know, that's not really the right word to describe it, but it's like energetic. He definitely has a strong voice, but his vocal style is very typical of the pop punk genre. And that's not to say it's bad or anything or that he's untalented. It's just sort of that sort of style, just the best way I can describe it. The next song is It's Never Sunny in South Philadelphia. This was one I'd liked to before. It's a little less fast-paced at first, and it's also a bit more pessimistic. I would say this is honestly the most pessimistic song off the album. It does have, like, these sort of tinges of, you know, I'm not going to be this way sort of thing. Like, I'm not going to be sad and disappointed. But it's also sort of, like, lamenting different parts of his life. It's sort of about losing himself to depression and also anxiety. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but a lot of the songs do have themes about struggling with anxiety, as the singer does have problems with anxiety and panic attacks. And it's a topic I think is honestly not explored enough necessarily in music, but I think it's nice to see somebody writing about that, and this song does talk about it a little bit, and a lot of the songs do throughout the album. It's another theme. It's not just about like struggling with depression, but also with anxiety. And I think I don't think I mentioned it last episode, but there is a song off of Bleed American, and I cannot place which one, by Jimmy Eat World, where I think it mentioned something to do with anxiety, because I know Jim Adkins suffered with that as well. So anyway, it's just interesting because you don't see it a super lot in music, but it's nice when you do. So yeah, and It's Never Sunny in South Philadelphia. He sort of feels down and out about his circumstances. It's, you know, He's not doing great. Like, he knows at the end of the day things will get better, but sort of like, I'm not feeling good right now. The verses are a little slower during the first half, and then they kick in to be more upbeat and punk as the song goes on. He sort of feels misunderstood in it, like the sort of things like people don't necessarily get what it's like if they've not had this experience. Obviously, you know, you experience your life in your own way, and nobody's ever going to fully understand everything that you go through and everything that you feel. So I think that this song kind of points that out in a way, the whole idea of being misunderstood, because nobody's going to fully ever understand you. I mean, obviously some people are more understanding than others, but your life and your everything about you truly can only be understood from your perspective, like completely 100%. But yeah, this is definitely more of a depressing take on things than the other songs so far. The next song is called Hostels and Brothels. So this track is about being on tour in the UK, and it's largely about sort of feeling homesick during it. He has this negative view of touring abroad, and he sort of wants to be convinced of the excitement. Like, he knows touring abroad will be exciting, and he just wants to be convinced of it. So he talks about talking to his dad about it and how his dad is like, it's going to get better. It's going to get more exciting. And toward the end of the song, he starts to believe his dad, and when he says that things will get better. And I think that it's a nice sort of message. But it's also it's reminiscent of the themes of the album, like not only just the whole touring thing, but also the sort of wanting it to get better. He doesn't want to be miserable touring in the UK. He wants to enjoy it. It talks about like a night they spent in Leeds and sort of all the things that happened. But I think it's sort of this idea of even though he's depressed and he's down about it and he's homesick and he misses home, he wants to be happier about it. He wants to have more excitement. And I think that fits the theme of a lot of the Wonder Years discography, and sort of the just because you're down and out now doesn't mean you will be forever. And it's sort of about wanting to get better. So yeah, good song. The next song is Melrose Diner. It's about a breakup. The breakup will be mentioned more in some other songs later that I'll talk about, but he had broken up with his girlfriend. And he's trying to say bad things about her, sort of, in the song and the verses. It's sort of make him feel better about losing her. Like, we broke up, but it's okay because you had all these flaws. And I never really liked you much anyway, so it's whatever. But he admits that he misses her in the chorus. Like, he wants her around still. And, you know, he doesn't really mean it. He's saying all these mean things and like, ah, oh, you just weren't that good anyway. And I was too good for you or whatever. But like, he doesn't mean it. He misses her. He also admits that the guy that she's with now isn't so bad. You know, he talks about his friends who are trying to convince him that, you know, oh, you know, you're so much better. That guy, he's stupid. He's nothing compared to you. But he's like, you know what? He's not that bad. I miss her, and that's that. It's a little bit lighter musically. It feels musically lighter than some of the other songs. It's still, you know, upbeat. It's kind of a fun song to listen to. And Melrose Diner is a diner that's referenced in Logan Circle when he says, I'm afraid that we're wasting away. We're sleeping in circles and talking in diners. And that's the diner he's referring to in that song, is Melrose Diner, which is one that I think the band and their friends would hang out and talk and just, you know, enjoy themselves at a lot. The next song is This Party Sucks. So it's sort of about how he feels uncomfortable at parties, bars, and clubs. And I think I said when I was looking at the meeting that he's straight edge, meaning he doesn't partake in any alcohol or drugs or anything, which is, you know, maybe part of the reason why he feels uncomfortable in these scenarios. But he sort of resents like these sort of basic people, I guess. I couldn't really think of a good word to describe them, but like just your typical party people who, you know, they want to go out and party and dance and all that, and just don't, they just don't really, I guess, care a super lot. So he's sort of saying he's not comfortable in this situation. It's also because of social anxiety, and he would just much rather stay in. This is actually a later song of theirs off The Greatest Generation, Passing Through Screen Door, one of my favorite songs. Probably it's one of my first I ever heard by the band. It references this song. In this song, it's Say You'll Stay, meaning like say you'll stay in. And then in Passing Through Screen Door, they sing, I was kind of hoping you'd stay, which almost infers that they didn't stay, which is interesting. I don't know. I guess I'd have to think more about what the ultimate meaning of that is. But anyway, it's just referenced later. I feel like the Wonder Years have a lot of callbacks throughout their songs, which is a pretty cool concept in my opinion. I think it's neat. Oh, he also mentions how he sort of hates the alternative scene as well, with like basement shows and just how, I guess, chaotic those can be as well. The next song is Hey Thanks, which is definitely the first song I heard by them. I first heard this song like over a year ago now, and it's such a far departure. It's so different from all the other songs off this album. So like, imagine my surprise hearing the rest of the album after hearing this. This is like a slow, simple love song. It's sung in like a different style than all the rest of the songs, sort of like this simpler, softer way. It's, you know, it's a love song. It's got a ukulele background. It's was written after Dan Campbell, the singer. He got a ukulele for his birthday, and he was playing a set of chords, and he liked it, and then he would just make up the lyrics about a girl he was dating. Her name was Jessica, and I think she's the same one mentioned in the earlier song, Melrose Diner. So yeah, it features Rachel Minton on vocals because she was Jessica's favorite singer. And it also features the I'm Not Sad Anymore part. It's a really neat song. It's got a trombone solo in it, which is pretty cool. That's not something you come across often. It almost didn't make the record, but the band was glad that it did. And I could sort of see why, because it's a lot different than their other songs. I've always liked this song, though. It was on a playlist I had, like, in the fall of 2019. And that was a great playlist. I had a lot of great songs on it, but this is one of them, and it was one of my favorite tracks. It is also one of, like, two songs I know on ukulele, because part of the reason when I wanted to get a ukulele was so I could learn this song, because it's, like, the only song I know with the ukulele background. And I know there's lots more. I just don't come across them very often. But yeah, it's really fun to play. I have not gotten to the point where I can like sing along with it. But I do enjoy playing it. It's a fun little chord combination. It's a nice song, a nice little love song. It's a song of appreciation. He's saying like, thanks. Then he lists like all the things that she's done. And it's just really nice. It's really sweet. The next song is Washington Square Park. It's got this really nice guitar in the introduction. And it's sort of about talking about wanting to be optimistic. You know, changing from giving up and not caring to looking for the upsides. Probably how this album got its title. But yeah, so it's definitely, it's sort of about that transition point. The point where you say, I'm done, you know, just wallowing in self-pity. I'm going to try to make a change. I'm going to try to change my perspective. So it's really nice. One of the lyrics that stuck out to me is, the whole world's full of losers. If you get a chance to win, take it. This idea that, you know, you could just, you know, let it get to you. But you could, if you have a chance to really make a name for yourself, to really get out there, why not just take it? And I think that's really nice. It's sort of also about, like, different, like, stage antics. Like, the singer Dan Campbell said that, and there's videos where he would sort of just, you know, go wild on stage or whatever and sometimes get hurt, you know, hitting the mic stand or whatever, and get injured. And it's about, like, sort of once you start caring more about yourself and about everything in general, he talks about, like, not doing that anymore, being a little bit more careful. So yeah, it's called Back To on the track I Don't Like Who I Was Then off of their album No Closer to Heaven. So yeah, the lyric on that song is, I was bitter, I was careless, I was 19 and afraid. And it's just, I don't know, that's a really great song too. I would highly suggest checking that one out as well. And it's sort of, that song's also has the same themes of, I know I didn't care before, but I care now, and I'm making myself a better person sort of thing, or I'm becoming a better person by changing my perspective and sort of just trying to make the right choices. The next song is All My Friends Are in Bar Bands, and that's actually the last song off the album. It's got a slow start. It's definitely a slower paced song in general than a lot of them, but it has this sort of dramatic ending, which I'll talk about in a couple minutes. It's sort of about his friends' stories. The, you know, first verse or so, he just talks about different friends of his and stuff they've gone through and stuff they've done and where they are in their journeys. And it's sort of about how everyone is on their own path to find happiness. You know, we're all on our own journeys to become better people, to sort of see the upsides of life, to, you know, just to get over our own things and just be the best we can be. And this song is about that. Like, you're not alone. If you are suffering from something, you're not alone. Everybody out there has something going on. Obviously, some worse than others, but just know that you're not alone. And I'm sure a lot of people might also be going through the same thing you're going through. And I think this song sort of serves as a reminder of that. The bridge features lots of singers singing the theme of the album. The lyrics are, I'm not sad anymore, I'm just tired of this place. If this year would just end, I think we'd all be okay. And I remember listening to this in 2020 and I was like, yeah, if this year would just end, I think we would all be okay. But yeah, so it felt really fitting then. But yeah, I mean, it's nice. It also, if you guys are familiar with the song, there's a song by Fall Out Boy called What a Catch, Donnie. And it has a very similar bridge in it, sort of just having a lot of singers from bands on the scene, in the scene, and they all just sing different parts of it. In What a Catch, Donnie, they sing different parts of Fall Out Boy's greatest hits. And in this song, they just sing that theme of the album, the whole I'm Not Sad Anymore thing. And there's another part as well in the background, a counter melody. Now, I normally would not cover deluxe edition tracks on this show. However, one of the tracks for the deluxe edition of this album is literally my favorite off the album. It's one of my favorites by the band, so I really can't just ignore it. And it was I Was Scared and I'm Sorry. This album is great. It takes place after the breakup with his girlfriend and also after the completion of the album. And it's sort of about, like, sadness, but not hopelessness. This idea of, and the chorus, I'll just sort of tell you the lyrics because I think they're really beautiful. And it's, I'm getting better, but it's in small steps. I'm working on sleeping on the left, you know, in a reference to getting over a relationship. He says, I just can't blame New York for this. And then I'm down again, but this time it's different. I'm mourning something that I miss, and that's better than being hopeless. And he's sort of recognizing that, yeah, he's in a little sad period of his life now after the breakup, after the album's finished, you know, all the excitement of recording and releasing it. After that's all done, after the dust has settled, there's a little bit of a period of time where he's just in between moments of his life and also going through a breakup. And he's recognizing that, but he's also recognizing that it's okay. It's okay to be sad and down, but also things will get better. And it's just, it's different because at least he's saying, at least I'm mourning something that I miss, sort of thing. Like, at least he has something to be sad for. It's not just this utter feeling of hopelessness. This also sort of the song ties a little bit back into like anxiety, I think he talks about. I just love the lyrics. I think they're just so wonderful in this song. And it just really paints a story for you. The part that really stands out to me is he talks about, he's like, I finally broke in an Outback Steakhouse bathroom while my family ordered for me. And it's just sort of like paints you this image of someone just, you know, having a really terrible time in their life in this restaurant and their family's just ordering the food for them. I finally broke on Christmas Eve as well as another thing. And it just paints the imagery. And also that line is why I consider this a Christmas song in a way, because it does mention Christmas, so I can justify listening to it on repeat around Christmas time. So just so y'all know, I count this one as kind of a Christmas song. So if you're looking for an excuse to listen to the Wonder Years around Christmas time, this song has one just for you. But yeah, it's great. There's a moment in the bridge, and it's really cool. It's got this call and response part. And it's like, it's nothing when she's leaning on me and saying, she's sorry. She's sorry. She's sorry. She's sorry. And then it cuts out. And then like, there's really like these softer, I guess, less like belting vocals. He's like, and I'm obviously on the verge of a mental breakdown this week. And then it kicks back in all the guitars and everything. It's just a really great moment. I can't believe it's just a bonus track of the deluxe edition. It's like my favorite one off the whole album. But I think it's an amazing song. Highly recommend it. And also I get that it was, you know, written after the album recording and everything. And it's about being after that process. He talks about it feels weird seeing the house where they record the album because, you know, he presumably moved after that. And he's like, it's weird seeing it, you know, and we don't live there anymore. Doesn't know who lives there anymore. It's just, it's such a wonderful song. It's so good. The lyrics are so good. It's got those driving guitars and drums, but it also has those moments that are a little bit softer, a little bit slower, that really let the vocals shine. Like the bridge, like not even just that part I was talking about, but the part before that, you just sort of, and the way he sings it, you can sort of feel what he's saying at different points. And it's just this series of different stories, you know? He's like, when you told me you loved me, I got scared and I'm sorry. And it just, you can feel the pain in the different words he's saying. But there's also that feeling of, you know, it's hopeful. He's like, yeah, I'm sad, but I'm not hopeless. So that sort of echoes the theme of the album. You know, yeah, I'm sad, but things will get better. I'm not hopeless. There's a bright future waiting for me. And yeah, I just think it's really, really nice. So my top favorites off the album are probably, or like at least my most listened to, are I Was Scared and I'm Sorry, Hey Thanks, My Last Semester, probably It's Never Sunny in South Philadelphia, and maybe Logan Circle. I've only more recently got into that one, but I haven't really liked it so far. So yeah. Now talk a little bit about the release of the album and the reception. It was released January 26th, 2010. It charted number 9 on Billboard Top Heatseekers chart and number 42 on Top Independent Albums chart. So it's a little bit different than some of the other albums I've covered because I would say it didn't really make that splash into the music world that some of the other albums I've talked about have. I mean, all of the rest of them have more than this one. Which is a little bit disappointing, but I think it's also because it's a little bit more punk inspired, I would say, than the other ones I've talked about. It's definitely a little bit faster. The guitars and drums go a little bit harder, a little bit more driving throughout these really fast riffs and beats. So I think it's probably less palatable to the general public, which could be why it didn't do as well on those charts. But I mean, it's still a great album. It's just, I would say if you listen to pop punk more for the pop than the punk, it might not be the one for you. I would say it is a little bit more punk inspired. I've heard of being called like emo as well, so I could see that. But I will say it's good. I like it. And I'm not into super hardcore music, but I think it's nice. I think it's like a nice step up to say if you were into bands like maybe like MCR, Fall Out Boy, that sort of thing. It'll be a step into a harder direction, but not necessarily like super punk hardcore. It doesn't have any like screaming in it really. I think maybe like one moment in one song might have a little bit, but overall it doesn't. So I would say, I mean, I recommend it to anyone who's a pop punk fan. But yeah, I will say it's a little bit less appeal to the general public than say like My Chemical Romance or Jimmy Eat World were. It did have positive reviews though, mostly positive. And it was ranked number 24 on Rock Sounds, the 51 most essential pop punk albums of all time, which is pretty good if you ask me. I was originally thinking in my mind when I saw that when I was doing research for it, I was like, wait, wasn't the last album I did ranked 25 on that list? And I was like, I'm really surprised they ranked this one above it. I mean, I think it's great, obviously, but I didn't know if that would really be like the most essential, but I double checked, and actually the other one was ranked on the 50 greatest pop punk albums, and it was Rolling Stone, not Rock Sound. However, some of those lists, you know, they have similar titles. Some magazines have similar names. So it's, you know, you can understand getting them confused, right? I mean, 51, 50, most essential, greatest. But yeah, I mean, they're both highly ranked, and this one is no exception. So now talk about its sort of subsequent influence and greater place in the scene. I feel like it kind of shows a little bit more darker toned pop punk and a sort of new movement with some of these bands that became popular around the time. It was released in 2010, and I think the early 2010s, you definitely had these sort of bands that weren't making it onto the pop charts, you know, your bands like State Champs, Neck Deep, bands like that. I mean, they don't all sound the same, obviously. They don't all sound like the Wonder Years, but I think bands like that that became popular within the scene, they did not, oh, The Story So Far, that was the other one I couldn't think of. But yeah, they didn't have that Billboard Hot 100 sort of popularity, but they were impactful within the alternative rock scene. However, I do think that this sort of also indicates a shift because, you know, there were other bands at the time, too, that had, you know, a lighter, brighter sound that were making it, you know, onto the charts and everything. But I think this sort of shows a shift in the general idea of the alternative rock scene in general. And well, before, I would say there was a lot of focus on pop punk, and there were a lot of these bands who were having great crossover appeal in that genre. I would say the scene is no longer pop punk centric. And I can't tell you exactly when that shift happened, but I will say I feel like a lot of the bands that get the most talked about aren't really pop punk bands anymore. You see the articles in alt press and rock sound, it's a variety of different alternative music, and it's wonderful to see other music getting recognized. However, I do think it sort of in a way hurt the Wonder Years' chance of maybe becoming more famous than they are. Obviously, they're not like unknown or anything. They have, you know, they have notoriety. A lot of people know them. A lot of people love them. They're a great band. Every record is amazing, and I think their songwriting ability is just incredibly impressive. But yeah, I mean, I think maybe had this come out like 5 years earlier, maybe it would have been more famous on the pop charts or whatever, but I don't necessarily think it matters. I don't think, you know, obviously I talk about charting and everything just to sort of show influence and impact, but ultimately, if you're out here, you're making great music. It doesn't matter if you were number one on the Billboard Top 100 or if you were number 42 on top independent albums, you know? I think that their influence can be heard. Like, I think a lot of bands do take from it, especially bands coming out now. And the one band I think is most worth noting that people often accuse of ripping, they often accuse this band of ripping off the Wonder Years, which I don't really think is a fair statement, but I'll go into that in a minute. But it's the band Hot Mulligan. They are an excellent up-and-coming pop punk. Well, I'm not really sure if up-and-coming is the right term, but they're a pop punk band, and they're starting to reach pretty great success within the scene. And I think I highly recommend you check them out. I think their songs are great. They definitely have a very similar style to the Wonder Years. The sort of vocals, the little bit of slower parts in their songs with the fast verses. But I think Hot Mulligan sing is a little different. I notice a trend in their songs that is really interesting. Sort of, I guess their signature thing is they have like these harder verses with the more driving guitars and drums and the harder vocals. And they have these really soft choruses with like these soft vocals. And it's very interesting juxtaposition. It's not something, you know, it sort of subverts your expectations. You might be expecting a song to have, you know, a softer verse and then go into a harder chorus. So, you know, the song normally kicks in at the chorus. And I think it's interesting how they sort of take that and flip it around. But anyway, they get accused of ripping off the Wonder Years. And I don't necessarily think that's a fair assumption, because I think a lot of people accuse bands of ripping each other off just for simply existing within the same genre. And, you know, I don't agree with that, because there's a lot of pop punk bands out there. And, you know, they don't all sound the same, but a lot of them sound similar. There's only so much difference there can ever be, you know. Another really great example of this same sort of thing is, if you guys are familiar, if any of you are into electronic music, this great debate of, did Owl City rip off the Postal Service? Because he made this very, you know, synth pop, like electronic music, sort of similar to the Postal Service. Adam Young and Ben Gibbard, they have similar sounding voices. So this idea, did he rip them off? And again, I don't really think that's fair, because I think just for existing within the same genre of music and making a similar type of music does not necessarily mean you're ripping the other person off. And also, fans will probably tell you of, you know, both bands, that it's not the same. I mean, if you listen to Ocean Eyes and Give Up, they're not the same. They definitely have different sort of tones to them. And the synths also sound different. So, and that's sort of how I feel about the Wonder Years and Hot Mulligan. However, I will say that I can hear the influence from the Wonder Years in their music, so I think it's worth noting. I also heard that maybe As It Is was influenced by the Wonder Years, which I could not confirm, but I did read somewhere that they were. But I couldn't, like, corroborate that with another source, so take that with a grain of salt. Not really sure about that, but yeah, great band, great album. I highly suggest it. It's got this optimistic sort of feel, very wonderful. It's a great album. What can I say? I love it. I think it's wonderful. This has been Caitlin. Thank you for tuning in to Rock On.